Isaiah chapter 26. I appreciate church. There's something special about church. I lean heavy on application because I was raised in a religious institution that what they said never applied to what was taking place. And so I've always tried to look for application in Scripture because the Bible is very applicable. It's not archaic, and it applies for every moment in time. And I can find myself getting lost in the Lord when I come to church. I should, and not lost in a bad way. It's just all the other stuff really doesn't matter. And you look in the Old Testament, and God had always provided a place. There was the garden, and then after the garden, there was the tabernacle. After the tabernacle, there was a temple. And then during the church age, which we're in now, we have the church. And there's something to be said about it. Hospitals had places where you could go and pray, seeking the Lord. And one day there's not going to be the church. The church age will be over. What are you trying to say? Well, in the Old Testament, they were looking for a place that God was at. And while they were there, they were okay, and they established Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the place where God was. It was a city of peace. And you were supposed to be protected within those walls. And we realize it didn't always happen because there always wasn't the right king. God had the right intentions. We just didn't follow it right. And so we have that. Don't ever take it for granted. The reason I pray and thank the Lord for the local church is it's visible. It's a place you can find refuge in. We mess it up. One of the reasons we stayed open, one of the reasons, there was many, that we stayed open during COVID. Number one, it was just scriptural. But number two, I said we're just going to, if it's just Libby and I in the foyer down there, without putting a sign on the door, if somebody comes, we'll read scripture and sing a hymn or two. And we were meeting to pray, and that lady, it could have been any number of things that were taking place in her life, but she pulled into that parking lot. She didn't even find herself in a parking slot and just put her head in her hands and was just crying. And, you know, I thought to myself, she who knows? Who knows what could have been taking place in her life? And maybe it was more for me than it was for her. And I thought, what happens if there's somebody in this chaotic day we live in, chaotic state, where they're looking for help? That's the importance of the local church. It's visible. It's not this mysterious, invisible, we're all a part of. Yeah, I'm part of the body of Christ. It's visible, though. It's a city set upon a hill, and that's what Jerusalem represented. It was a city of peace, shalom, and they spoke of peace. That city will be reestablished, and we will be in the city of peace while there's some serious unrest taking place here. We'll have a view of it, and it is going to be extremely chaotic. And so with those thoughts in mind, there's been some verses that have been on my mind, not necessarily because of last night, but just the thoughts that I've been having. There's a verse, I'm not going to say I struggle with it, but I refer to it often when I'm not. Isaiah chapter 26. And I'm going to bounce around a little bit. I'm going to try it again this week. And it started out, Miss Alicia, it started out with just that at the top. And I'm trying. There's just so much here inside. And there's, you are precious people. And I'm relegated to the position I'm supposed to share something with you. And a lot of times there's a lot to share the older I get, because there's a lot going on. And so I'm going to try again with the time that we have. Amen. And I've not been doing well with that lately. And I appreciate your patience. All right? So I'm going to try it again. I'm going to bounce around. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 1. Again, this was Isaiah from the Lord speaking to Isaiah, and he's a prophet, and this is to Isaiah and to the children of Israel, but there's a lot we can get from it, okay? In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. That's why I say this is a safe place. The picture is, what should you find when you come to the house of God? You should find safety. You should find refuge. They had cities of refuge in the Old Testament. I think there was 8 of them. I'm not sure. Maybe there was more than that. It's been a while since I studied it. That no matter what the crime, you could run to those. The Catholic Church had those in the same sense back during historical times. No matter what the crime, you could go there and you could be safe within there. They were trying to, if you will, perpetuate a Jewish national custom, if you will. That's not necessarily what we're supposed to do because we have laws and rules. But by application, no matter what the crime, and such were some of you, all of us committed a crime against the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't we? The severity of it might have been different, but James says that if you've offended one point of the law, you're guilty of all of it. So we can't say, well, I wasn't as bad of a criminal as he was or she was. But this is a place of safety when a person comes here. They ought to be safe. The people that are here ought to be safe. But the people that come ought to be safe. So we see in Isaiah speaking of this city, he says, we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Salvation keeps you safe. Why? Because you're in the Father's hand. Didn't Jesus say this in John chapter 10? We're in His hand and Jesus' hand, and He's in the Father's hand, and as long as you're in that, you're okay. You're protected. Again, He was given an Old Testament truth and given it again in the New Testament. Salvation. Salvation protects you from a lot of things, young people. And the sooner you get saved, the safer you are. Now, that doesn't mean you can sit inside of that safety and do whatever you want to do because you're safe. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Remember, there's safety in the sheepfold. There's walls. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And it's speaking of Jerusalem. And he said in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee, speaking of the Lord. Trust, and he reiterates it, verse 4, trust ye in the Lord occasionally. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. And there's so much more I could read. We'll stop there with a thought. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. There's just so much going on, Lord. There's so much going on in so many different areas. And if we're not careful, we focus on the wrong thing, or we over-focus on something. And or we just forget and we just check out for a few moments, and or we just hunker down in a foxhole. And Lord, you've placed us here for this time and this season for a purpose. We're salt. We preserve. Our world is rotting around us. It's putrid. It stinks. And yet we're salt. And we can't seem to preserve what we're in a month. We're light, you said. Believers, the church. And yet all around us is darkness. And we don't take that light and shine it upon the darkness. We hide. And there's so much more that we are, Lord. And if we're not careful, we forget it. We forget the purpose and the presence that we have in the world that we live in. We're supposed to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works. It's not necessarily what we do. It's who we're doing it for and with. And so help us this morning, Lord. We have a responsibility in this day that we live in to be light and salt and be a helping hand and hope and so many things, Lord, outlined in Scripture. And we come to you this morning needy. Everything we need this morning is found in you. Everything we have is found in you. And so we'd ask you to speak to us individually. Thank you for salvation. Thank you in these days that we find ourselves living in. They're not strange. The Bible spoke about them over and over again, and you've demonstrated a nation that focused on you and the struggles that they had in and amongst the nations they lived. So Lord, help us to glean the truths from the Scripture. Understand them, apply them to our lives, and help us. I don't know when you'll come back. It's not for me to know. But until you do, I'm supposed to trust you. I'm supposed to stay close to you. I have safety in you. And I'm supposed to point other people to you. So help us all this morning, Lord, not just the preacher, not just the deacons, but help each and every one of us that has interaction with the world that we live in. It's unrest. And we have answers and hope. We should be at the door of the sheepfold, screaming out into the world for people to run into Christ for safety. Help us this morning, Lord. Thank you for the local church. Thank you for the eternal Word of God that gives us clarity and direction and precision in what's taking place. And it gives us a path how to handle it. And so we thank you for the eternal Word of God. We can't live on anything else but it. And you demonstrated that to us. So help us to hunger and thirst after it. And Lord, thank you so much for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God to help when it seems like there's no help. Thank you that you've imparted that, a peace, a part of you into those that trust in you. And we thank you for all of these. Help us to never take them for granted. Forgive us, Lord, all of us this week for where we failed you in action, in deed, in conversation or conduct. Help us to run to you this morning. Help us to understand the safety that is within you this morning. So speak to us individually, Holy Spirit, as only you can. Give clarity from my thought. Help me, I plead. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. I realize more and more you don't need me, but I need you. So help us, I plead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah focuses on this topic, if you will, peace. And God had a city of peace, Jerusalem, and when they talked to each other, they'd say shalom, and it was peace. There was a desire. We've lost that. We've lost the very essence of what the Old Testament was supposed to teach us. That word carries over into the New Testament. Most of, if not all of, the letters written in the Scriptures after, and probably to include Romans, I'm trying not to do as much background and introduction and load it up on the front end, but all of the letters, if not all of them, most of them have, and peace to you, and grace from our, and so there's a constant reference to peace in the New Testament, a constant reference from the writer for us to have peace. We should have peace. The greatest attribute of salvation is peace. Not necessarily just personal, but Jesus was our propitiation. That's just a big word. He was our peace offering. And what was that for? Because we were not at peace with God. He was okay. We were the ones that were off. And Jesus mediated that. He brought peace between us and God. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be peacemakers. And we're not peacemakers anymore. Sadly, in so many churches, there's unrest and people bickering and fighting. And this person did this and this person did this. And then we go home in the loft of our piousness and look out at the world and say, isn't this ridiculous? Where parents aren't talking to one another, children are not speaking to one another, and all claim Christianity. And so Isaiah is, if you, and I don't want to do a whole study, but I just want to set the tone for it. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible says, and you don't have to go there, just let me read it, but listen, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, here's kings, in the days of the city of peace. This is Isaiah's viewpoint of what's taking place. Now watch this. Isaiah understood. God wanted a theocracy. God wanted to be in control. They wanted a monarchy. They wanted kings. They wanted what the rest of the world had. That's what was so. And we should be living in light of a theocracy. Who is our king? Did we wake up this morning and change our profile picture to the picture of a king with blood dripping down his face? Or did we just stay on the path of who we are? I get it. I understand it all. I've served in the military, but our focus is getting so far off. And we that have the message are sending a message to them. And we're sending the wrong message to them. So he says here, Isaiah starts out concerning Judah and Jerusalem, divided kingdom, again, never should have been. But what divided it? The kings divided it. Because the kings had their own agenda. So now the city of peace is divided. And it shouldn't have been. And it was in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. He said, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. You say, again, preacher, you've got to rightly divide the word of God. He's writing to the children of Israel. That's not us, that's them. I agree with you. But we're guilty of it too. You say, how so? He said, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib. When you're trusting in your job more than you are God. When you're trusting in the economy more than God is in control of the economy. We say that. I don't know if we live that sometimes. Be the pastor of a church that starts out the year with that. And has to trust. I'm trusting here, but Matt, some of that's here, ain't it? You got to stay close to him, and you've got to have that position too, or guess what happens around March? The ox knoweth his owner. The ox knows when he goes to the crib where he gets his corn from. We go to the checkbook and say, God's not the one supplying that. Well, if a man won't work, he won't eat. And we misappropriate verses of Scripture and we twist them to our own detriment, but our own devices, so we can play God instead of God being God. If he can clothe and feed 2.5 million people in the wilderness, 18 boxcars a day, imagine that being Pastor Moses. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider us. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. Is it not, in the history of our country, probably one of the least attended times of public worship nowadays? It's gotten worse since COVID. It's amazing pastors have to beg people to come back to church because church wasn't their focal point before it. It's amazing that it's a little bit of a bump in the road in a Christian's life can get him that far off. They have forsaken the Lord. They provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it. We think we're okay. Said, but wounds and bruises. Do you know what I've found out as pastor? You pastor people with wounds and bruises. Can I go a little step further than that? A lot of the wounds and bruises are self-inflicted. You know why they're self-inflicted, Ryan? Pay attention. Because we won't heed the Holy One of Israel. He gives us safety. The Bible is it's a book of fences. Not offenses, fences. Fences put up, borders. Trespass means you're going off into a field that God put a fence up so you wouldn't go into it. And then you tell people this, and it's, oh man, there's so many illustrations here. Listen, I abuse my body my whole life and then get saved. God doesn't save me from the consequences of that. He saves me to save me, but the consequences are still there. I've crossed that fence too many times. He tells them the problem, and then he starts giving into the particulars of it. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. It's difficult as a pastor sometimes. You want to put bandages on things, and you can't because they've just putrefied over years of never going to the one who can fix it. They have not been closed, neither bound up. Neither mollified with ointment. We could fast forward to the Good Samaritan. What did the Good Samaritan do? He was a Good Samaritan. Why? Because he helped somebody else. That's what. Listen, that doesn't just start here. It doesn't just end here. It starts here. You should have a medical aid bag that you carry outside of church with ointment and bandages and all the things possible to what? Help and heal people that are hurting. The church has drifted from that. He said, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Do we need to review what 2020, 2021, 2022 looked like? It's almost like he's given an expose on the United States of America, doesn't it? Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge and a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. So God leaves a remnant in Isaiah's day. Is not the church the remnant in our day? Are we not the ones that God has left here to, if we go to 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says, he who now letteth will let until, is it the son of perdition or the son, I'm forgotten what that says, be revealed, and who is that? That's the Antichrist. Till he's revealed, who's the one that stops this thing from putrefying? Who's the one that brings light? Who's the one that brings salt? Who's the one? When you take the Holy Spirit of God, which is indwelt within the believers at the rapture of the church, you know what you have left? Revelation 5. And open it up and just listen to all the woes and the vials and the trumpets and everything that takes place. It is a filthy, nasty mess because God has pulled himself back from it and said, okay, here, this is what you want. Have at it. And until then, we're supposed to show people what God wants and bring. Isn't that not what Jerusalem was left there for? Is that not what the children? Listen, if Rahab the harlot can look and say, we've heard about y'all. We've seen it. Is there anybody in this city saying, we've heard about Graham Road? We've seen what God's doing at Graham Road. And it's not just God doing it. God does what he does through us. I could read the whole book of Isaiah to get to chapter 26. You go to chapter 5, just before he says, in the year of King Uzziah, he begins to speak to Isaiah and says, who's going to go? But you back up to verse 20 in Isaiah chapter 5, and there's so much I could read. He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Is that happening today? That put darkness for light and light for darkness. Thank goodness our kids can go to camp. You know why? So Julia can see light. Because if she doesn't get to go to camp or she doesn't get to go to church, mom, dad, if you don't think it's important to have your children in church, guess what she sees all the time? Darkness. Libby and I got away yesterday just for a moment. She's probably not watching. And I'm not saying this for pity. We text each other. I said to Libby, I said, you want to go get some Chinese food? No, I said, you want to go to El Campesinos? Man, I'm dying for some El Campesino. Not. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Miss Linda's going to take it personal here pretty soon. Has anybody ever heard of Los Garasolas? Okay, anyways. So I texted Libby and I said, Chinese food, Twinsburg? She responds back and got away. Some of y'all don't understand that. It's another message for another day. And so we did. And she probably knew I was distracted. I just watched people. More importantly, children. There were several tables there with kids, and I was watching this one, and it was putrefying. There's no other way to say it. You're being judgmental. No, I'm not judgmental. The Bible is judgmental. And I have a book. And you can call me a fruit inspector, you can call me whatever, but what got my attention was this one table where there was this little girl. I mean, she's just a couple of them, just like this. And the words and the actions and the attitude and the conduct. And I just sat there and I said, that poor little child doesn't have a chance of a snowball in hell. And know what's going to happen. Well, did you get up on your table and pontificate? No, I just tried to be a light. And just you pray over your food. You just do what you do and let God let the chips fall where they may, and so on and so forth. But it's just, that is what's taking place in an alarming rate now. But you preach on Father's Day and people get sideways in church. You preach and touch on those things on Mother's Day. I just want to come and, Pastor Juan, tell me how great of a dad I've been. Well, if you're a great dad, guess who tells you you're a great dad? Your family will tell you you're a great dad. The Bible will tell you you're a great dad. But for those that aren't, there needs to be, hey, get inside the fence. Because there's people behind you. And you get to this place where he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light. That poor little, those kids I saw yesterday, all they have is darkness. That's why it's important for a bus route. I don't know if it's as important to everybody else that there's a bus route. But that's why there's a bus route. See, when you start realizing that there's a lot of little kids in darkness, then you'll take a bus into the darkness with light. And you'll be equipped with light. And you'll be strengthened in light so you can be strong enough to go into the darkness. Isn't that what chapter 6 said of Isaiah? It says that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet. And sweet for bitter. You know how many young people come to church nowadays and the truth is bitter to them? Just give me a better explanation for that. Well, you ever sat a child down? It's amazing. I got 11 of them. It's amazing. You can put a healthy meal on the table. Proper vegetables, proper meat, protein, proper starches, proper all that stuff. Put the correct portions for the size. Put that on there. Papa, I'm just too full. I'm just too full. And I do it on purpose now. Okay, you're too full. All right. Cody and them say, where was that guy? Microwaving up my food and couldn't leave the table for 4 hours till I finished it all. I've grown. I've learned. And then I said, okay. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get dessert. And it is amazing, Brother Glass. At the moment you pull out the dessert, all of a sudden everything fell out of the stomach into the left leg. And there's plenty of room. Same thing at church. Our young people can get around bitter all the time. And then they come to church where this is sweet. The water at church is sweet. But if you're not used to it, guess what it is? It's bitter. Preacher, you got to give me a better illustration than your grandkids. Well, how about those children of Israel? That manna was sweet. But they got so used to the leeks and onions that said, I want the leeks and onions. So then a young person comes to church, they can't sit still. They can't, wow, is that what y'all do all the time? Is that what he just yells all the time? Is that how long services go all the time? But time limit is nothing on a PlayStation. Time limit is nothing you put that microphone set on. Time limit's nothing when you put a cell phone in their hand. And I'm not talking about just the young people. I'm talking about adults. Isaiah said, they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And aren't we living in the midst of a YouTube and internet educated system nowadays where they're smarter than the Word of God? Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward. I've listened to so much justification of political candidates that do nothing to help people. Just justify. Which justify the wicked for reward. And once you come up in that system, you're obligated to that system. Corruption breeds corruption. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness. And their blossom shall go up as dust because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. Could you imagine living today with leaders? And I'm not just talking about at the White House. I'm talking about across the board. Leaders at your job. Leaders in your home. Leaders as political candidates. Leaders of cities. Instead of councilmen posting ungodly abominations on their Facebook feed. And we're supposed to say it's okay. I mean, that's where we're living right now. And I know people don't want to hear about it sometimes at church. Tell me something about Jesus. I'm telling you something about Jesus. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. And despite, wouldn't you love to go to work Monday and your boss was a believer and he conducted his affairs like Philemon should when Paul recommended it? The Bible teaches that about taking care of our servants. A servant, by application, is an employee. A master is an owner of a business. Could you imagine if we did that? Therefore, verse 25, as the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, he has stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble. Their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And then we come to chapter 25. And if you just sit there and again and look, and I'm getting somewhere. In chapter 25, read a couple verses of scripture. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say unto the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou sayest, aha, against my sanctuary when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went in captivity. Behold, therefore, I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession. And you just keep running and running and running and looking, and it's just, it's nation, it's total. And here's the thing about it, God put a people and a place. The people were his people, the children of Israel, and the place was Jerusalem. And anybody that could or would or wanted to could come there and have him as their God. Have him as their Lord, have him as watching over them. And guess what took place? They didn't. And even the ones that were in there lost touch with it. We have lost touch with our relationship with God, and we are getting everything we deserve today. And then you get to 26. I'm all the way in Ezekiel. Where in the world am I at here? I'm sorry. You get to chapter 26 of Ezekiel, or of Isaiah. Chapter 25, I read the wrong. In that day, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Chapter 25, now watch this now. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things, thy counsels of old. Now all this stuff is taking place, city of confusion in the previous chapter. He says, I will praise thy name. Did you do that today? For thou hast done wonderful things. Did you recognize that today? Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. See, that place should have been feared. They should tremble, they should see. There's something going on there. I need what's there. And then you get to 26 in that day. And he gets to verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. He couldn't change anything going on outside. God could, but they were left to their own devices. He wanted the children of Israel to realize this was the place. There was too many of them going out there when they should have rested. You'll see it tonight. I guarantee it. Can I say this? And I'm going to say this too. You're part of the problem. You're part of the problem. This hit and miss, this come when you want, do what you want, go where you want, you're the problem. And these are the ones you're hurting. Just come when you feel like it. Come up with 1,000 different excuses. I hope you're uncomfortable sitting there. I hope you're uncomfortable watching. Caleb, is that not the truth? You are coming up in a generation that's going to fight hell by the half acre. And then the ones that sit in here and sing these songs every week can't come back and come up with every different excuse under the sun and think I'm okay with it. And then show up in my office when they're teenagers and they're shot out. Or they're adults and they've divorced and the kids are split and everything else and put a Band-Aid on it. I can't rewind the tape. It was a city of safety. It was a city of refuge. It was a place to get help. And guess what? If the help didn't come, you were still supposed to stay there and wait for the help. He's just too personal. This is a personal Bible. This is a personal Bible. And there's not an excuse I can come up with that should keep me away from the rules and the regulations and the principles and the promises from it. If I want the safety. But what took place is there was a lack of peace. And can I say this? We're living in a day where there's a lack of peace. The last 2 weeks we've looked at passages aiding us to trust in God during difficult times. Storms, satanic attacks. Job was under a satanic attack. He didn't go down to the pharmacy. And the word, Greek word, pharmaceutical, it's almost sorcery. And tell me that ain't taking place today. The boat, you think they were at unrest? You think they had peace? Jesus had peace because he was peace. He's asleep. He wasn't asleep because he never slumbers or sleep, but they thought he was. And there's a lot of pulpits this morning that think Jesus is asleep because what doesn't he see what's going on? Aren't we somebody special? And so for the last couple weeks, today I want to look at another aspect of that. We're living in a day in desperate need of peace. There is personal unrest. I was speaking with some preachers the other day, and I said, is it just me, or is the majority of people sitting in churches medicated? Now, I'm not against medication, but there was very more intelligent men than me in the group I was referring to, and they had statistics of the average churches nowadays and how many people are on prescription medications for nerves, anxiety, and peace. And I've said this 1,000 times, our medical field is not looking to help. They're looking for clients. If they can get to a place where they mandate a vaccination on people, they're looking for clients. And so now, as a pastor, can I tell somebody unequivocally when they come here, you can find peace? Or you can find peace after you've used all the other resources out there. I've 30 years in the ministry. Do you know how many times it gets to a point where you go to counsel somebody to help them from the Word of God? And they're already at a counselor. And they're already on medication. And they've already heard 1,000 people justify it. And so I'm handcuffed. I can't read nothing out of that book to you. Because everybody else has already said, this is how you fix it. And I say, okay, what's the time plan on that? Is there a goal line? Nope. Just going to get, now, boy, isn't that a problem? What if I told you that there was a limitations? Or there wasn't a, you just come, I can't, listen, you can keep coming, but I can't promise you anything. We're just going to spin our tires and hope that something happens. Church is not a hope it happens place. They're either principles and promises, or they're principles and suggestions and hope-sos. I hope you get saved. I hope you get help. Listen, that city of peace, they took that man. Watch this, talking about shut-ins nowadays. Every time that pool was in operation, somebody picked that person up and took them there with the hope in that city of peace that an angel would trouble the waters and they'd get help. Well, they didn't need an angel because the angel of the Lord showed up and said, thou be whole, arise. Could you imagine just me just standing up here, never giving any kind of solution to the problem? You don't have peace today? I'll pray for you. And don't think I'm anti-medical, because there are stipulations for that, or there are special, but I'm going to tell you what, it has become a pandemic. It's no different than me before I got saved, going down to the bar and looking for peace in a bottle, or looking for peace here, or looking for peace here, trying to find some. Can I say this? God wants us to all have peace. The problem is we're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. There's personal unrest. I'm amazed as a pastor. And I sit there and I tell Libby, I said, I've gotten to the place, Mama. I tell her, I said, I don't have help anymore. I don't have anything to offer people anymore most of the time. Well, I know what you're saying. I know what it says. I understand that. Then do it. There's personal unrest. It's pretty obvious there's political unrest, isn't there? You know why there's political unrest? Because they don't have the answers. They were never given the position to have the answers. They're supposed to point us to the answer. There's parental unrest. I'm just, it's, Mom and dad fighting against each other, no hope, no desire, no reason to reconcile. You know why? Because I'm looking for peace. And how many have said, well, just you tell me. Look me up in 5 months and see, tell me if you found it. And when you tell me in 5 months, you come back and try and rub it in my face, it's not found out there, it's found in there. You don't come back with an unscriptural, I found peace. Peace has to line up with the Bible. You just don't manufacture it and say it. You might fool everybody else, but you don't fool God. There's parental unrest. I'll even go further than this. There's planet unrest. This planet is dying. It's not global warming, it's God warming. Because he's going to burn it up. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be a new city of Jerusalem, a city of peace. And guess what's going to be there is peace. Until then, guess who's the representative of that place? Church after church, arguing and bickering over the color of carpet or who did this or who did that. People everywhere looking for peace, but sadly in the wrong location. Peace can be had, the Bible promises it. However, sadly, we want it on our terms. Peace is mentioned 429 times in the Bible. 31 times, most mentioned time in a book is in Leviticus. There was peace offerings. You know what those peace offerings were? In a nutshell, they were us or the Levites bringing these things to have peace with God. And they were all a picture of us coming later on to Christ, him being our propitiation, our peace offering. He's the mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We come to him. Those offerings were they were pictures of Christ. And he is now, in our dispensation, he is our offering. They were supposed to be looking towards Christ, the coming one, the sacrifice. So it's going to be mentioned in Leviticus more than any other book because those are those offerings. You understand what I'm saying? Next place it's mentioned is Isaiah 29 times. Isn't that interesting? Because the focal point, whether prophetical or in that moment, was the city of peace, Jerusalem. And they were trying, God was trying to get their attention that this is a place. Not for you to just sit there. That's why I said, don't come here this morning and just stick your head in the sand. There is a unrest taking place out there. And when you leave here this afternoon and you go out there, you're salt. You and I are salt. We preserve. We're the ones that stop the two people bickering at work. We're not the ones that are bickering at work. We're light. We bring light on darkness. We take a dark situation, we bring light on it. It's not to point the finger. It's to get us to the light. We're failing. The problem in too many pulpits today is the problems in the White House. And the truth of the matter is the problems at the church house. We have not done what we've been commissioned to do. Majority of the New Testament books are started with the word peace as a greeting. We ought to, when we see each other, be peaceful. You know how many times the pastor, hey, how you doing? You know what you're telling me? You have peace. And you don't know how to appropriate it. Now everybody's going to quit talking to the pastor. I have all kinds of problems going on in my life. And this message is more for me than it is anybody else. And I find myself beating myself up because I'm promised peace. So in the midst of all of this, I should be the most peaceful one. I should bring in a situation. You come to work tomorrow. None of y'all work. Come to work tomorrow and the whole place is just blown up. God has you there to bring peace. He doesn't place you there, Brother Mike, for you to scream at the rafters because the boat's sinking. I ask myself, what happens if this thing really gets bad? You don't think COVID bothered me? You don't think I was sitting there, which way should I go? And I was sitting there saying, well, I'm the one steering this ship. Or at least steering the ship and getting directions from the one steering the big ship. And there has to be, you have to bring that to the battle. You have to, tomorrow you have to, we have to leave out of here. If this whole thing goes upside, listen, if it happened at camp, what happens if somebody breaks in at camp and they didn't break in at the rally? Everybody's supposed to just scream and, ah! What was it, Orson Welles, War of the Worlds, was on the radio? And people were jumping out of buildings because of what was broadcasting on a radio program? That's facts. And look at us today. Pandemonium. Not only out there, but in the church a lot of days. Majority of the New Testament books are started with the word peace as a greeting, and yet we aren't in peace or at peace. Isaiah is given the path, if you will. I'm going to give them to you with 2 minutes. Heavy on the introduction, no matter what, Andrew. He gives them to Isaiah. He's given the situation, Isaiah, I've given the situation to you. The last thing any one of us should not have when we leave here today is not have a sense of peace. I'm okay. But I'm going to tell you what I said to Mama last night, and I said to Gene last night. I got 11 grandkids, man. They're special to me. And if the Lord tarries, what's that look like, Brother Alex? And watch this. When you don't provide peace, they're going to look for it. I tell these Timothy guys, the word used to be moderate. It's oversee. We've had tornado warnings here. And somebody just, everybody get in the basement. And I had to go back later on and say, that you're not giving peace. You're giving demands. If anything else, you should have said, come on, this is where the safest place is. Learn tones of voice. Learn conduct. Brother Mike, do they teach you conduct as a, what did you used to be called? A peace officer. Why? Because when the policeman shows up, he brings peace to the situation. He gives instruction. He gives a direction. And God is telling Isaiah, listen, and you see in chapter 6, he says, I'm an unclean man dwelling in the midst of unclean people. And his tongue got touched by the tongs, and he said, okay, I'm going to go out in there. And Isaiah was. He tried to bring peace. But listen, all of us, we're supposed to just throw it out there. It's what people do with it. But I'm going to tell you what, the last thing they ought to do is be pointing at you and say, well, you're offering me peace, but you don't seem very peaceful. Well, hold on. Let me take another. You needed a title, didn't you? Peace. Watch this about peace. We see the promise of peace, verse 3a. God told Isaiah and the rest of the nation, thou will keep him in perfect peace. There's a promise. I have a tendency, Brother John, with my accident, and I find it more and more the older I get. I have panic attacks. I have anxiety attacks. I told my wife, I'm really struggling. Something takes place now, and I'm just, but do I go medicate? Well, Pastor, I know some people that will help you out with that. I know a person that will help me out with that. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. There's not a clause on that, necessarily, that it's going to be. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Not just a temporary peace. We see the promise. Verse 3b, we see the practice. There's a promise, but there's a practice. What's the practice? It's just like you go to the doctor. Okay, I'm going to give you this. And this is over. Somebody said the other day, 70% of our churches are on prescription medications for this kind. I said, 70%? Why? Because we're not looking at him for peace. We're trying to find, what's the new Prozaxol? What's that one now I can lose weight? What? Ozempic. I can lose weight. I'm putting a little extra on, brother. I can just lose weight the easy way. Just take a pill. But man, there's a lot of side effects. Or guess what? Believe it or not, I can take the book of Leviticus. I can take the book of Leviticus and apply the principles in Leviticus to my life. And guess what takes place? I can be healthy. And guess what? In the situation, lest anybody think I'm anti-meds, it should not be 70%. Could we bring it more down maybe to 7%? But no, so-and-so told so-and-so that told so-and-so that told so-and-so this is a way you can control those anxiety attacks and everything else. And listen, I'm not shooting at anybody when I'm saying this. I've been prescribed everything under the sun. But I've chose to use this one. We see the promise. We see the practice. Whose mind is stayed. That word stayed means to literally... You see, Evelyn, when she came home from camp, that stayed, hanging on, clinging to attach yourself to. Attach what to? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and took upon him the form of man. It's everywhere else. And we turn to all the amusements to get our mind off of it. All of us have them. There's just sometimes, I'm not kidding, I'll be transparent since nobody else will. There's just sometimes I get home and I just click it on. And I just sit there and I go, it's amusement. It's just getting me to a place of just, and all of us have them. Well, I'd love to come back to church tonight, but. And it's, I'll tell you what, some of the most peaceful times I've had with God is sitting in a tree stand, thinking about God. I'd rather be in a tree stand thinking about God than in church thinking about a tree stand. And it ain't got one verse of scripture attached to it. We see the promise, we see the practice. You trusting in the promise this morning? And are you practicing it? Whose mind is stayed, attached to, clinging to thee. Well, I tell you what, I still have to live in this world. That don't mean you can't meditate on Scripture. Don't mean you can't meditate on Scripture. Singing to ourselves, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to what? To the Lord. Going through Walmart, doing your stuff instead of getting sucked in by all of it. Just... We just don't put it into practical application. There's the promise. There's the practice. There's the principle. Verse 3c. Because he trusteth in thee. God promises peace. The practice is keeping my mind on him. And what? The principle is because he trusteth in thee. There's something coming from this. You promised it, I'm practicing it. Here's the principle, I'm trusting in you for this situation. He was trying to teach the disciples that in the boat. He was trying to teach Job that. He was trying to teach Isaiah that. He was trying, do you think Daniel was just pacing the floor chewing his fingernails to the bone? Now, I'm not shooting at anybody. I had a pastor, my wife and I said this about my pastor one time. Literally chew his fingernails down to the quick where they're bleeding. The Bible speaks about eating your flesh. And look at the context of eating flesh. That's flesh eating. And I thought to myself, what could possibly be taking place in his life? You ever just watch somebody go to the doctor sometimes, just waiting to speak to the physician about what the report is? That's not should be us, but it is us. It's the average church member nowadays because we've gone through the motions and missed the man. The promise, the practice, the principle. Verse 4, the proclamation, trust ye in the Lord forever. Listen, if tomorrow the whole thing falls out, I got to live this. And I got to keep my eyes focused on him. I tell Libby this sometimes. I said, Libby, stop. Stop. Women, you're terrible about this. Men, can I get an amen? Man, if they can't see the gnat in a brush pile at 1,000 yards and focus on it. I mean, I'd be driving down the road. Y'all remember this? Driving down the road, just wonderful on deputation, trusting the Lord. Michael! Flat! Did you see that deer? You mean the one 300 yards in the wood line over there? Ladies, you are notorious about pointing every little thing out while we're trying to find peace and lead. And here's Miriam come to the party. Moses, I can give 1,000 illustrations for it. We're supposed to trust in him. You got this. You got this election year. You got our government. I'm just supposed to trust in you. And if we're doing that with him, then you do it with us. Because once you start doing this, guess what the kids do? Oh, Dad don't know what he's talking about. Dad don't know what he's talking about. I'm the balanced one here. The proclamation, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah's everlasting strength. And then if you read the rest of the book, guess what? We see about this piece, the proof. God proves it all the time. Those who don't follow him, guess what they have? Unrest. There's no rest for the wicked. There's none. They're out there upside down because we haven't pointed them to the place that has rest and shown them that it's possible. I'm sure something will take place in my life. All right, big boy. You told everybody else. I tried to. My wife snickers a lot of times because she knows what goes on in my life. She knows what's taking place. It's amazing to me how many people can. And it's so sad sometimes. I'm an ear, but some people just long to talk to the pastor. I'm not saying you don't. But the pastor's going to point you to the same one he's relying upon. Only for so long. Guess what? Because you got to find that too. Caleb, you got to find a personal relationship and a walk of peace with God. And your car's going to break down and all these little trivial things that the older folks sit there and go, he had a flat tire. Oh, my goodness. And Jacob Cook needs to know this more than anybody else. He took my truck yesterday and I drove his car this morning. Whew. Man, if you don't have to do this with the noises and creaks and leaks, and I'm going, this boy better learn peace. Because driving that thing's unpeaceful. You finish out the book. You look at the prophecy of it. One day, we'll be in a new city. And we'll look back and laugh at the times we got so bent out of shape. If God revealed to us today everything that was intentional to happen yesterday and everything on the horizon, and he gave it all to us for us to look at, we would all feel so terrible about ourselves. No different than, has anybody ever had children that, you know, they panic? And you're trying to, nobody's ever had children that panic? And as a parent, you're trying to stop them from panicking? And before this thing's over, it's Armageddon. It's Armageddon. Why are you laughing, Mom? This whole thing's falling apart. And then if we were to just show it to them, oh, that's how we'd be. Oh, he's either got it all under control or he doesn't. And what's my responsibility to do? Trust in him. And that's tough. It's amazing to me how many people say, I'll trust him with my life. But I won't trust him with my finances. I got to have control of those things. How in the world am I going to render to him what's his and then still be able to do what I'm supposed to do? Or they give him salvation. I need to be saved. But my future wife, my future job, and my future location, and my future this, and my future that, those are my responsibilities. And then guess what happens when they get to the office? All of those that they said were their responsibilities, they made poor decisions in because they didn't look at the manual, and now they're at unpeace. There's just some people, I'm sorry. There's just some people that say to me, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. So you're going to have to live with it. You made that decision. God says he'll fix the problem, or he'll be there in the midst of the problem. He doesn't just come in with a magic wand just when you say, hey, listen, my wife and I were lost when we got saved. All the principles still applied. I can't 5 years down the road say she's a pain in the neck, and she is. Say amen right there. I can't say, well, I'm looking for peace and I ain't going to find it there. No, I made the decision. We've got too many people bailing out of all our responsibility. People that will sign up for a job, go through all the stuff, first day at work, they don't like it, they don't even clock out, they just walk out and get in their car. Father, I'd ask you to help us. Our world is spinning out of control. We're the ones that should be in the city of peace, worshiping the peacekeeper and pointing other people to you. And I'm afraid, Lord, we've forgotten the promises from the Bible. You will keep us in perfect peace, conditional when our mind is stayed upon you. We'll leave here today. We come to the altar and we toss it on the altar and turn around and pick it back up. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. I'm the first in line to panic sometimes, and I'm embarrassed when I do. I ought to know better by now, having walked this journey with you. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. So apply the principles today from the nation of Israel to the people of their time to us today, please. That promise is still valid today. Help us to keep our eyes upon you, Lord. If there's somebody in here who doesn't know you as Savior, I pray today be that day. Help us, I plea. Help us, Lord. Help us to go to work tomorrow and bring peace. When everybody else is talking about what's taking place, when everybody else is talking about the election year and what our economy is going to do and war and the rumors of war and everything else, help us to be that peace person. And when they ask us for answers, the answers are that we trust in the Creator of it all. Help us, I plea. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.